The Book Nook on WYSO is made possible by five local library systems in Southwest Ohio: the Greene County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Clark County Public Library, the Dayton Metro Library, and the Wright Memorial Public Library.
Good morning. You're listening to WYSO in Yellow Springs. I'm Vic McCunis. We have the Book Nook coming up for you, and this morning, a very special guest joining me on the program. He's a musician. His name is Loudon Wainwright III. He had one big hit on the radio back in 1972. It's called Dead Skunk. Remember that one? Well, it was good for him, and it was also bad for him. We'll be talking to him about that song and about his long musical career. Coming up in the Book Nook this morning, his memoir is called Liner Notes. But first, let's check in with National Public Radio for the news. Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Loudon Wainwright III. Hello, Loudon.
Hey, Vic, how are you?
Very good. And I've been waiting for this book for a long time, Loudon. You finally published your memoir. It's called Liner Notes, Loudon Wainwright III on Parents and Children, Exes and Excess, Death and Decay, and a few of my other favorite things. I'm really surprised that you did this, Loudon. Well, how did you come to decide to do it?
Well, my dad was a writer, and I watched him ply his trade, and it looked like hard, difficult, arduous, lonely work. You know, sitting in front of people used to use typewriters back in those days. So the idea of being a writer, you know, of writing prose anyway, sentences, always struck me as being something kind of a must to avoid. I started writing songs, so that's kind of writing. And over the years, I've written some liner notes to some of my albums. But the book really happened because a few years ago, a guy called Peter Gethers, who's actually my editor on this book, he said to me, "I think you have a book in you," which sounded like a kind of a scary medical diagnosis. And then some people gave me some money and said, go ahead and try to write it. So that's what I did. It took about 3 years. And managed to do it.
I remember reading Life magazine and seeing your father's pieces in there. And your father, he wanted to write books, and he had book plans. And you've kind of fulfilled that obligation for him, haven't you, in a way, by putting out this book?
Well, I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, he did wind up writing a book. It was a book about a history of Life magazine, where he worked at for his entire adult life. I think my dad was a beautiful, elegant writer. In fact, in my book, in Liner Notes, I include several of his, columns and parts of his columns. I think he was a brilliant writer. He did have a bit of a hang up about making the jump from being a journalist to a book writer. But I think that's a common problem.
Well, you get the impression that he was so busy just keeping up with his long career at Life magazine that he just never really got around to writing those books other than the one about Life magazine, which was probably sort of ironic because that's what he wanted to get away from in his other books.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think I think. But anyway, he was kind of a star. I mean, he was very famous when I was growing up because Life magazine was on everybody's coffee table.
Yeah.
And because I had the same name, the same first name and last name and middle name, people said, "Oh, you must be the son of the famous." He experienced death in his life as a journalist. I think his death was to be a novelist or a fiction writer, though.
Lon Wainwright joins us. We're talking about his memoir, Liner Notes. We go right back to the very beginning. You talk about your family and your education and how you became a musician. And you kind of lament the fact that those first two records that you made back way at the beginning for the Atlantic label, they might have gotten some good reviews, but they really didn't sell very well. Well, I want to confess to you that I went out and bought them when they came out. I was one of those weirdos that bought them new.
Yeah. Well, I think they're great records, those first two records. For one thing, they're unadorned. I mean, there's no – it's just me and my guitar. I think on the second one, there's a harmonica, and my then-wife, Kate McGarrigle, sings some harmony on a song on an old folk song we recorded called Old Paint. But other than that, the two Atlantic albums are voice and guitar records, and they're unique because that really wasn't being done at that time. You know, all the singer-songwriters had country rock bands and bell-bottom pants and, you know, the like.
And then suddenly on the third record, for a new label, Columbia, you were working for Clive Davis at that point, and suddenly you had a band and you had this big radio hit, which has been sort of a mixed blessing, hasn't it?
Yeah. The Dead Skunk phenomena. By the time I Atlantic dropped me and then Columbia signed me, and there was some pressure to take a crack at something different and try to make a radio friendly, as they used to say, record. And we did exactly that. I mean, Dead Skunk was, you know, I think it got to be number 12 in the national Billboard chart, and it was number one in Little Rock, Arkansas for 6 weeks. And no, it was a big, let's put it this way. It's going to be in my obituary for sure. Dead Skunk.
Hmm. You have so many funny anecdotes in this memoir, and one of my favorites was just a little quick aside where you apparently encountered former President Clinton, and you asked him if he remembered the song.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a few years ago. It was a kind of a meet and greet, and I got to me and my wife and our daughter met him and shook hands with him and got our picture taken with him. And then because he is from Little Rock, you know, I thought, well, he might have heard Dead Skunk. So I asked him out front and kind of his eyes glazed over. And he said, "I'm not sure," or something like that. I've always imagined that him and Hillary were making out in the back of some car in 1972 in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Dead Skunk was on the radio.
Yes. You have such a vivid imagination. I love the fact that you included all these lyrics in the book, because I had tried to decipher some of these lyrics, and I didn't really understand some of the songs. And now I kind of understand some of them better because you explain where a lot of these lyrics came from.
Yeah, I mean, you know, primarily I am a lyricist. I mean, I'm a singer and I play the guitar a bit, but my main focus, I guess you could say, is on my lyrics, the words to my songs. And so it seemed a logical choice to print a lot of the lyrics in the book.
Lon Wainwright joins us. His memoir is Liner Notes on Parents and Children, Exes and Excess, Death and Decay, and a few of my other favorite things. You just mentioned the fact that in your obituary, they will mention the fact that you wrote Dead Skunk. You're really kind of looking at your own mortality in this book, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, I've always been somewhat obsessed with my own mortality. You know, the first line and the first song on my first record was in Delaware when I was younger. So I'm always this thing of age and the end has always been a concern of mine in the songs. But now that I'm almost 71, the reality of it is ever present, so I write about that in the book, hopefully people can dig it, as they say.
Well, I dug it, and you describe a defining moment. You were in Boston, and you were kind of thinking about becoming a musician, and then you went and saw the band, and something happened.
Yeah, well, I had made my first album. I recorded it in 69, and then I kind of ran off and joined up with a macrobiotic community, which was in the late 60s and early 70s. The macrobiotic thing was happening up in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So I was living in this study house, you know, eating brown rice and vegetables and studying what they called the order of the universe. And I was kind of hiding out doing this. And meanwhile, the people at Atlantic Records were saying, hey, where the hell is he? You know, we need him out on the road. We need him going to radio stations. You know, we need his help promoting the record. And I was just avoiding all that, I think, because I was nervous about it, or ambivalent at least. So, but then I went with some friends one night to Cambridge and saw the band, Robertson, Manuel, Danko, Helm, and Garth Hudson perform at Harvard Stadium. And it was such an exciting, thrilling, spectacular event that the next day I left Boston and went back to New York and said, okay, I want to be in show business. And that's when I started to go out and really sing in clubs, and you know, I embraced my career at that point.
Hmm. My guest is Loudon Wainwright. You've also had a long career as an actor, and I can remember seeing you in MASH way back in the day, and just freaking out, going, "That's Loudon Wainwright! That's, I can't believe it!" And I was just so stunned and pleased. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world. One of the things I enjoy the most about interviewing musicians about books is that it gives us an opportunity to play some of their music. And we're going to go into this break with a song by Loudon Wainwright III. This is an autobiographical song about growing up in Westchester County, New York. And this is from an album he recorded live back in 2002. It's called So Damn Happy, and let's hear about Westchester County now from Loudon Wainwright III.
Let's do that that country and eastern song I taught you earlier, Westchester County. I was raised here in Westchester County. I was taught in a country day school. We were richer than most, I don't mean to boast, but I swam in the country club pool with a father from Hewlett, Long Island, and a mother from Tifton, GA. During the war in the Marine Corps, they met and then married one day. I was raised here in Westchester County. My brother, my sisters, and I. Oh, our dad went to work every day in New York on a train in a suit and a tie. Country club kids had our fun. Steal a kiss, Copperfield, off a girl in high heels. Oh, we all came in our cummerbunds. I was raised here in Westchester County. Tennis courts and golf courses galore. By the country club pool, at the country day school, I learned manners, oh, so much more. Sunday dinners around that dining room table we all sat. Carve a turkey, a ham, roast leg of lamb. Dinner finished in 10 minutes flat. I was raised here in Westchester County. But I swam in a country club.
The Book Nook continues on WYSO. My guest is Loudon Wainwright III. We're talking about his memoir, Liner Notes, and also slipping in some music from Loudon. And we're going to go into this segment with a track he recorded 10 years ago from an album called Strange Weirdos, music from and inspired by the film Knocked Up. And if you read Loudon's memoir, you'll discover that he's had some fraught relationships over the years with his children, including his daughter, Martha. And I think the song is in part inspired by his relationship with Martha. And there's a great photo in the memoir of the two of them together at one of his favorite swimming places, right on the Irish Sea in Dublin, Ireland. Here's Loudon Wainwright III with Daughter.
She says she wants everything she wants. I see she gets. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she owns, I bought her. Everything she owns. That's my daughter in the water. Everything she knows, I taught her. Everything she knows. Everything heart. Every day she takes apart. That's my daughter in the water. Every time she fell, I caught her. Every time she fell. That's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought her. Yeah, I lost every time. Strike somebody blind. Every sign she thinks blows her tiny mind. That's my daughter in the water. Who'd have ever thought her? Who'd have ever thought? That's my daughter in the water. I lost every time I fought.
Loudon Wainwright joins us. His book is Liner Notes on Parents and Children, Exes and Excess, Death and Decay, and A Few of My Other Favorite Things. Okay, there's one thing I'm wondering about that I didn't see in the book, and I'd heard this rumor, Loudon, and I wonder if you'll respond to this question. I heard a rumor that back in the earliest days when you and Kate had your son Rufus, that for a brief period of time, he slept in a guitar case.
Well, that's true. I mean, in fact, there's a picture of that in my, I believe it's in the album or the CD History. There's a picture of Rufus in my guitar case. He was had just been born. We were in Nashville. I can't remember where that picture is.
Uh-huh.
But, Kate and I were down in Nashville making a record called Attempted Mustache, and Rufus had just came along. He was just a few weeks old, and there's a picture of him. I don't know if he's asleep, but he was lying in the guitar case, which musicians will know, of course, those old hard shell cases, they had this kind of luxurious, it wasn't felt, but it looked like it, you know, protective, this protective cloth inside these old guitar cases. So, yes, he did sleep in my guitar case.
Okay. Well, of course, Rufus has his own burgeoning musical career. A lot of your offspring have chosen that route, haven't they?
Yeah, 3 out of 4 of my kids, Rufus, Martha, and Lucy, are singers and songwriters and performers and making records and CDs and doing shows.
Your book is very consistent with your lyricism and your songs. There's a lot of pain here, isn't there?
There's a lot of pain in the book, you mean?
Yeah, just, you know, having to talk about some of this.
Yeah, I mean, I decided, well, I didn't talk about everything.
Uh-huh.
Believe me.
Yeah.
But I you know, there were broken marriages and excessive behavior, as the subtitle of my book suggests, you know, drinking and philandering and just bad behavior on my part. You know, it's in the book. I wrote it down. I it's part of my story. So it seemed pointless to me to withhold it. And also, you know, it's something that, people know about, you know, if not personally, certainly with family members and loved ones and things. So I think it's an important, and it was painful at the time, and, you know, it created tough situations. But so I think I felt it needed to be in the book.
Well, I certainly appreciated it because I followed your musical career since day one, and I didn't know 99% of this stuff. So as a fan, it was really cool to be able to know what some of this stuff was about, and I thank you for that. My guest is Loudon Wainwright, and we're talking about Liner Notes, his memoir. And about 20 years ago, one of my colleagues here at the station, she had a folk music show, and she told me that she was going to be interviewing you, and I was so jealous. I said, you know, I really want to talk to him. Can you let me do the interview? She said, no. And by a weird coincidence, she was from Wilmington, Delaware, and she had gone to Tatnall School, which was kind of an arch rival of St. Andrew's School where you went. And I said, I'd really like to talk to him about, you know, going to St. Andrew's. And she goes, oh, he doesn't want to talk about that. And now I read your book and I read about St. Andrew's, and I was having all these flashbacks because in 1968, I was living in Des Moines. And Bill Cameron from St. Andrew's came out and interviewed me. And and the next year, I arrived on the shores of Knoxontown Pound in 1969. I entered the third form at St. Andrew's.
I'll be darned. Yeah. So we're fellow alums.
In a way, and that's how I knew about you and how I started following you. And you have this piece in here called Letter to Chess Baum. And I had never seen this. I know this had been printed before. And I kept thinking about, you know, I had Mr. Schmalzy for algebra and Ferdy Hillier for ancient history. And
sure.
Ducky Washburn was our advisor. And I love this piece. I didn't have Chester Baum for anything, but I can remember what a presence he was at breakfast. St. Andrew's, you didn't really enjoy it very much, but it certainly had an impact on you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did have a great impact on me. St. Andrew's was the school that my father went to. You know, he graduated in 1942, and he was rather miserable there himself, but he decided that it would be a good thing for me to go there and get a good education, which I certainly did. I can't say that I enjoyed it. You know, I kind of wanted to be in a public high school where there were girls, among other things. But there were some good things too. And I recently went to my, a couple of years ago, I went to my 50th reunion.
You
and,
did? Wow.
That was pretty interesting.
I'll bet. You hadn't been there since 68, had you?
I'd been a few times, you know. I would be driving by, and I'd kind of sneak in, and walk around and get the smell of the halls and the dormitories and the dining room, and you know, I mean, it was a powerful time, you know, when you're 14 to 18. I mean, that's a powerful bracket of time. So. I was drawn back to the place, but when I was there, I was kind of miserable.
Well, you,
I probably would have been miserable in high school too.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You alluded to the very first song on your first album, School Days. And every time I hear that, I have this image of, one of those shells silently going across Knoxontown Pound and Ducky Washburn with his little megaphone in the back of the little boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, St. Andrew's was a big rowing school.
Uh-huh.
The powerful rowing teams.
Yeah, in 69, they won the Henley Regatta.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah. Well, Loudon, as I read the book, I kept thinking about all the stuff that you've done and all the stuff that you are doing. And I hadn't heard about this recent performance that you've been doing that's like a tribute to your dad.
Yeah, it's not precisely a tribute to my dad. I call it a posthumous collaboration. My father died in 1988, and as we discussed, he was a very fine journalist and had a column in Life magazine called A View from Here. And now it's been almost 4 years. I have a show, an 80-minute theater show called Surviving Twin, where I combine and connect some of my father's writing to some of my songs. And I've done this show in New York and L.A., and I did it in London back in the spring, and we're going to try to make a film of it soon. So it's not a tribute so much as a chance to kind of, play creative catch with my father. You know, I come out, I sing one of my songs, then I do some of my dad's, I perform some of my dad's writing and then segue into other songs. So it's something that I enjoy doing a lot. He and I, despite the fact that he's been dead for more than 25 years, he and I are getting along great these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much that was revealed to me from your lyrics that seemed to be somewhat obscure at the time. I didn't realize that you had known Liza Minnelli. Just lots of great stories.
We went to a great school. We were in the, third or fourth grade together out in L.A. in Westwood, California. And there is there's quite a bit of Liza in the book, actually.
Is there? Are you going to say how she's in there?
Pardon?
How is there quite a bit of her in there? And what am I missing?
Well, I just tell the story of knowing her and going to her house for a play date and riding around in these. She had a thing. I don't even know if they still exist, but there was a company in Mystic, Connecticut, that made this battery-operated kitty car. It looked like a Thunderbird. You know, that Ford Thunderbird. It was called a Thunderbird Junior, and rich kids had them. Liza had two of them.
Mm.
So, we would play chauffeur movie star. I would be the chauffeur, and she would be the movie star. And that's all in the song that I wrote called Liza, which is the lyrics of that are also printed in the book.
Right. I did not understand that was about her until I read your book. I'd always wondered about.
Yeah.
The book is Liner Notes, Loudon Wainwright III on Parents and Children, Exes and Excess, Death and Decay, and a few of my other favorite things. Did you work on this title for a while, or did it just come to you like one of your songs in about 12 minutes?
I had a couple of different title ideas, but I came up with Liner Notes. I felt that the book also needed the subtitle just to let people know, what was going to be in the book. I just came up with it, I guess.
Mm. Well, we're actually recording this before your official publication date. I see it's coming out right after your birthday, and then you're going out on a big tour. Are you planning on playing music as well as doing book events? What have you got in mind?
Yeah, my autumn is going to be pretty busy. I'm going to go to a lot of different cities and do book events, and then maybe hang out and play in a club that night. I'm doing that in a variety of places. So I'm going to be pretty tired by the end of November. I'm doing a lot, kind of crisscrossing the country a couple of times.
Well, that's why I was hoping to talk to you before you went on a tour, because I figured that would be pretty hectic. And right now you're kind of relaxed and mellow before it all happens. And I also learned in your book that you are a big swimmer, and you actually list your favorite places to swim. And this is quite informative. The favorite places in Ireland, or maybe not
well,
the favorite.
Well, that's number one on the list. Yeah, it's a place called the 40 Foot. It's a place in it's kind of a suburb south of Dublin, and it's a place called Sandy Cove. And it's basically the Irish Sea, and it was built in the 1800s, and it used to be just a men-only nudist kind of swimming hole. Now it's men and women, and people wear bathing suits. But it's really cold and invigorating, and I love going there. Every time I'm in Dublin, I make a point of making a pilgrimage and jumping in off the 40 foot.
Ooh.
It's not a 40-foot jump. I think the water's supposed to be about 40 feet deep at that point.
Oh, and Hampstead, I can remember those ponds. I didn't know you could swim in them, but
yeah, the Hampstead ponds. Those are in London, up near at the top of Hampstead Heath. I've been going there for years and years too. Not quite as cold as the 40-foot.
Mm.
Then there are places mentioned in Australia and in Texas and, the beach, Watch Hill, Rhode Island, where I spent, I learned how to ride waves with my dad. That was kind of the beach of my childhood. And this lovely little lake in northern Westchester County, New York, called Wacobuck. Mm. I talk about that as one of my favorite swimming places.
And of course, some of our listeners remember the swimming song. And
yes.
I didn't realize how important swimming was to you until I read your book. So this has really been a gold mine for me, your liner notes.
Good.
Yeah. Well, Loudon, I just have one more question. And I'm wondering how you would like to be remembered.
Oh, any old way, as long as they remember me. I will be dead at that point, so it probably won't really matter that much to me. But I love my job. You know, there's some aspects of it I don't love. I mean, I don't really like to drag my ass around the airports and get to the shows. But I love performing. I still, the book ends with a chapter called the 75 to 90, which is, basically the length of one of my shows. And it talks about my job. And I love my job. I feel very fortunate to have, 40, almost 50 years ago, to have found something that I love to do. And it's been a great thing. I'd like to do it for as long as I can.
Thank you, Loudon. I'm very happy that we were able to have this conversation.
Well, I enjoyed talking with you. Thank you for calling.
My guest has been Loudon Wainwright III. His memoir is Liner Notes on Parents and Children, Exes and Excess, Death and Decay, and a few of my other favorite things. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McKeonis. Don't go away. We have some more music for you from Loudon Wainwright III coming up in our final segment. And we're going to play a couple of songs that are very autobiographical, just like his memoir, Liner Notes. Stay tuned. Coming up right after this. You're listening to The Book Nook on WYSO. Thanks for tuning in this morning. And I just did an interview with Loudon Wainwright III for his memoir, Liner Notes, and I really feel a personal connection with Loudon Wainwright III. As you heard in that interview, we end up going to the same school at one point and had some of the same teachers, and that just really was an amazing coincidence. I've always followed him since he started putting out music, and I've also followed the musical endeavors of his kids. His son Rufus Wainwright has had quite a career so far, and his daughter Martha as well. And they are his children from his first marriage to Kate McGarrigle. And a number of years ago, I was in Boulder, Colorado, And I went to a concert, and I saw Rufus and Martha perform together. And after they performed, they were standing out in front of the theater. And I went up to them, and I chatted with them. And I said, I went to the same school your dad did. And Rufus was not happy that I brought up his father's name. If you heard Fresh Air this week, Terry Gross interviewed Lon Wainwright III for this memoir. And they had a conversation, and she asked him about Rufus, and he said, well, we're not getting along at the moment. And Loudon just had a birthday. He turned 71 this past week on the day that his book came out. And Rufus posted a photo of the two of them together on Twitter on Loudon's birthday. And Loudon is smiling, and Rufus is kind of glaring. So it's very subtle. There's a lot of stuff going on in that family. Let's listen now to Loudon Wainwright III, joined by his daughter, Martha, talking about their relationship.
Hey, welcome to the stage, Martha Wainwright. You never phone, you never write. Hey, I've stopped hoping that you might. Trying to hurt my feelings, right? You never phone and you never write.
You never write, you never phone. I'm sorry, I got a bitchin' mom. I'm sorry, I gotta pick this bone. You never write, you never phone.
Sometimes I think of me, my address and phone number must be misty in your memory.
This year my birthday came and went. No call was made, no card was sent. But I got the snub you must have meant. This year my birthday came and went.
This year my birthday went and came. Last year what happened was the same. And your excuses sure are lame. This year my birthday went and came.
Chicka wow 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 wow.
Chicka wow 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 wow.
Peter Frampton time.
Sometimes I wonder what you must think of me. Then I remember it's you that you think of exclusively.
But I'm not gonna bounce great.
Every bunch there's one bad grade.
I'm a little bit bent out of shape, but I'm not gonna bow scrape.
I won't scrape or bow.
Genuflect, beg, or kowtow.
Just singing this song is fine for now.
No, I'm not gonna scrape. Chicka wow 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 wow.
Loudon Wainwright III, joined by his daughter, Martha Wainwright, singing a song called You Never Phone, rather autobiographical. And Loudon Wainwright III was my guest on the program today. We talked about his memoir, Liner Notes. And we're going to close out the program this morning with another song he recorded that is deeply autobiographical. It's called The Home Stretch. This is also recorded live in concert back in 2002. And he really is a clever songwriter. As you listen to the lyrics and enjoy his witticisms, I think you'll appreciate the fact that he is really unique in American songwriting. It's always a pleasure to bring you the Book Nook on WYSO. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 10:30 when Donald Ray Pollock returns to the program. His novel, The Heavenly Table, just came out in paperback.
I'd like to bring up Mr. Richard Thompson, please. If the day off doesn't get you, then the bad reviewer does. At least you've been a has-been and not just an ever was. And you know it's not a mountain, but no molehill is this big. And you promise to quit drinking as you light another cig. Once again, you're in the home stretch, but you're not sure where you live. You recall a small apartment and a government you give large amounts of money to, so you're allowed to stay and rest until you're well enough to leave again and play. You'd like to get your old job back and mow lawns again one day. But keep lifting up your left leg and sticking out your tongue. There's nothing else that you can do, and you're too old to die young. Yeah. Towns, not much to declare zones. London broils and tuna mouths on dirty microphones. Sound man's fallen fast asleep. The light man's been up for days. The club owner and arithmetic have long since parted ways. Tonight they're rather cold, but they're prepared to listen. All they have to be is told. If the day off doesn't get you, then the bad reviewer does. At least you've been a has-been, not just a never was.
Thank you.